Dr. Christian's office. Who's calling? Oh, Mr. Sweeney. Yes, I heard. I hope it's coming along all right.
The Vaseline Program, presenting a new Dr. Christian prize play called The Laughingest Family by Clara Casimir of Rochester, New York, starring Jean Hersholt as Dr. Christian and Rosemary DeCamp as Judy Price.
A burn certainly can be painful, even minor burns. I'm glad yours is healing up so well. Oh, yes, I was quick. But of course, Vaseline petroleum jelly is ideal for burns. There's more evidence of that all the time. Did you know about the medical report on the treatment on the victims of that frightful Coconut Grove fire? Astonishing recoveries followed an improved treatment that included the local application of petrolatum. That's a medical term for Vaseline petroleum jelly, you know. Yes, Mr. Sweeney, it's a fine idea. Always keep Vaseline petroleum jelly handy. Then for any minor burn, spread it on fine mesh gauze and place over the burn. Bind firmly, not tightly. Of course, if the burn is deep or covers a wide area, always call a doctor. Get a convenient tube or 10-cent jar of Vaseline petroleum jelly tomorrow and keep it in your medicine chest. Oh, that's all right. Anytime, Mr. Sweeney. Goodbye.
And now for our play. The opening scene takes us to Dr. Christian's familiar office. And there's the doctor just going in the front door.
Oh, hello, Judy. Were there any calls for me?
Oh, good morning, Dr. Christian. Yes, there were two calls. I was just going to put them on your pad. Mrs. Hasty called from the children's home.
Not Mimi again?
Yes. The Simpsons brought her back. She wasn't happy, they said. Oh, Dr. Christian, what's going to become of that child? Mrs. Hasty says no one has ever heard her laugh.
Ah, the poor child keeps reliving the bombing and horror she went through over in Europe.
I know Don and Lisa Peters are dead, and I shouldn't talk about them, but they never should have taken Mimi over there in the first place.
Oh, now, Judy, they had no way of knowing they were going to be caught in the middle of things. They hadn't any relatives, and when that New York paper Don was working for sent him to Europe, naturally, Lisa wanted to go along.
I'm glad Don left word his daughter was to be sent back to River's End. The Peters family was one of our oldest families, and she belongs here.
Well, if we can find the right parents for Mimi, Judy, parents that she approves of.
I thought she liked the Simpsons. She seemed to when they took her.
The Simpsons are good people. So were the others, but somehow I had the feeling Mimi was only tolerating them because I asked her to.
Oh.
Now, if we could find someone that struck a responsive note, then...
If you had the right kind of housekeeper, you'd move Mimi here now, wouldn't you?
I may yet, Judy. Oh, what was the other call?
Oh, Mr. Jake asked for a 5 o'clock appointment.
Mr. Jake? Do I know any Mr. Jake, Judy?
Well, I know I don't. He said it was an urgent matter. In fact, he sounded quite excited and upset.
Excited and upset, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I should be back by 5. I have a call to make after office hours, but, I can be back by then. I'll take it, Judy. Hello? Oh, yes, Sheriff. Our newcomer, Mrs. Bunny, Yes, your boys told me she wouldn't let them play ball in that lot next to her place. No, I called on her, but her gate was locked. I couldn't make myself heard. Yes, it's too bad. Well, I'll try again. Goodbye, Pat.
They say that Mrs. Bonney is a witch and hexes people.
Oh, Judy, Judy, hexes people.
Well, I mean, the children say it. Dr. Christian, why does she keep to herself like she does? Everyone was so excited when they heard that lovely old place had a tenant. But the first thing she did was have that brick wall put up with a big wooden gate. No one knows if she's 80 or 20 with that black widow's veil she wears. No wonder the children call her a witch.
Well, there's something wrong there, Judy. I'm going to find out what it is. Living like that is normal or right in these days when there's so much to be done.
Well, there's the order of the day. Find parents for one Mimi Peters, hex one witch, and interview a mysterious Mr. Jake.
Well, you make me sound like anything but a doctor, Judy. This Mr. Jake, is he staying in Riverside?
No, he's from Center City. Center City, Dr. Christian. That's where the witch is from. You know, Mrs. Bonney. I suppose it could be a coincidence, but maybe this Mr. Jake...
Oh, you read too many mystery stories.
Oh.
Anyway, we'll know at 5 o'clock. Now I've got to phone Mrs. Hasty. We can't let Mimi go too long without laughing, Judy. I don't like it. Sit down, won't you, Mr. Jake?
Thank you.
I understand you're from Center City. We have a newcomer from Center City, Mrs. Bunny. Maybe you're acquainted with her.
She's my daughter, Dr. Christian.
Oh. I tried to call on her, but...
I know. The gate was locked. Dr. Christian, you've got to help her. She won't listen to me, to anyone. Hiding there in those old-fashioned black widow's weeds, she might as well be dead. Yes, dead. She is dead.
Oh, now, sit down, please. Suppose you begin at the beginning.
No, I'm sorry. Yes, I'll begin at the beginning, Dr. Christian. Irene, my daughter, was a singer. Her voice was most promising. Then she married, and her husband went overseas.
Yes.
And after a while, the word came that he had been killed in action in the Pacific.
And she took it badly?
She took it amazingly well at first. Of course, she was dazed and grieved, but she kept saying that others had suffered similar losses, and at least she had her music.
Well, there's no greater comfort than an occupation or hobby at such times. I hope you urged her to take up her career again.
Oh, yes. And she was all ready to open the operatic season in Detroit when she was injured in an automobile accident.
Oh, poor child.
Her head was badly injured. And while the wound healed, it affected her singing voice. The doctors thought that a series of operations might correct the condition. But she didn't believe them, or wouldn't. She said it was a judgment on her, that God didn't want her to live either. I tried my best to get her to take a more rational view, but... Well, she moved away while I was out of town.
That's when she came here and buried herself in that old house?
Yes, it was left to her long ago by her great aunt.
The black widow's weeds you spoke of, why does she wear them?
Part of her complex, I guess. It's absurd in this day and age for a young woman.
Tell me, did the accident disfigure her?
Well, there's a bad spot in her forehead, but the doctors thought that too could be remedied. But she's just simply gone into complete seclusion.
Oh, won't she even see you?
No, not even me. It's dreadful, Doctor. Irene is my only child. She's all I've got, and now I'm losing her. I have lost her.
Come now, buck up, man. It's an old age. It's where there's life, there's hope, but true nonetheless. You see this white stripe on my wrist? It's hand-tooled.
Nice. It's a beautiful piece of workmanship.
It was done for me by a lad in the Veterans Hospital. A lad who is an artist. Who had lost his right hand and withered the will to live. But we found that will for him, and he has learned to use his left hand. Now, perhaps we can help your daughter find herself, too.
Irene's got good stuff in her, Doctor. She used to be so brave, so ready to face up to things.
Mm-hmm. Now, suppose you let me handle things from now on for a while. I think I know a way of reaching your daughter. At least I'm going to try.
I suppose there are thousands of shock cases in the world now.
There are more than that, Mr. Jake. And each case requires individual care, love, understanding, and patience. Much patience. I'm working now with a little 7-year-old girl who was under fire on Europe. The child lost both her parents and also the ability to laugh as a child should laugh.
Dr. Christian?
Oh, first, Mimi, we called on the little boy who had his leg in a cast. He just would climb apple trees.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you a secret. He's pretending he's that famous rabbit Harvey. So, don't be surprised if he decides you're a head of lettuce with that pretty green dress you're wearing.
I won't.
Well, don't you think that's funny, Mimi?
Yes. It is funny, Dr. Christian.
Oh, but we usually laugh when things are funny, don't we?
Dr. Christian, my mother always said we were the laughingest family. Then the airplanes came over the village. She called me. She said, Mimi. Daddy was bombed, too. I want them to come back to me, Dr. Christian.
Mamie. Oh, there, child. Your mother isn't here. Oh, I know about the bombing. But, Mamie, there's something in people that laughs and sings. That can't be bombed. We'll find a mother to take care of you here. Mother who will make you laugh again, and your own mother is going to be very happy when she hears Mamie laughing.
You'll hear me, Dr. Christian?
I know she will. Here we are, Mimi. I'll leave you out in the car this time, but I won't be long. And then there'll be one more of these sit out in the car stops.
That's all right, Dr. Christian. I like to sit in your car fine. I'm going to think about what you said and about finding a mother for me.
I'll be back very soon.
Has anything happened?
Oh, Judy, did Mimi come back here?
Mimi? Well, she went calling with you.
Oh, yes, I know she did. I left her sitting in the car. It was my last stop, and I took longer than I expected to. When I came out, she was gone.
Oh, your last stop, huh? Well, then you were at Mason's on the edge of town, hmm?
That's right.
But why would Mimi go off? You don't think she was kidnapped, Dr. Christian, do you?
I don't know what to think. Talk with her about finding a mother and... That's it, Judy. The child must have decided to go up and look for one herself.
Oh, Dr. Christian, not Mimi. If it were any other child, but you know how Mimi is. Oh, suppose she wanders off into the woods. She'll be scared when it gets dark. What are we going to do? Shall I call the sheriff?
No, I'll call him myself. Oh, Pat. Pat, this is Dr. Christian. Mimi Peters is lost. Yes, the little girl recently brought home from Europe. I took her out calling with me. Yes, I left her sitting in my car, and when I came out, she was gone. The Mason place. Yes. Well, thank you, Pat. I know you will. Goodbye. Ah, now Mrs. Hasty. She'll never trust me with a child from the home again.
Yes, Sheriff Regan. No, Dr. Christian isn't here. Yes, I'll tell him. Where do you suppose she is? It's over 2 hours now. Well, she just vanished. Yes, I suppose so. Well, goodbye. Oh, Dr. Christian, any trace of her yet?
No, don't be so upset, Judy. They'll find her.
Oh.
After all, River's End isn't so big we can lose a 70-year-old child in it. She just wandered off.
Oh, I wish I had your confidence. Oh, the sheriff phoned to tell you the Boy Scouts are spread out through the woods.
Well, that's fine. I'll be in my office a while, Judy. And then I may try calling Mrs. Bonney again.
Mrs. Bonney? I don't see how you can bother your head over her with Mimi lost. Dr. Christian, sometimes you perplex me.
Just sometimes, Judy?
Girl, I'm looking for a mother.
Well, she isn't here. You'll have to go out again. I don't allow little girls in my garden.
I'm not a little girl. I'm a lady. Why do you wear that black veil?
To make little girls ask questions.
I don't like you.
You don't? Well, I don't like... Oh, heaven. Listen, child or lady, if that's what you think you are, where did you leave your mother?
In France.
France?
Yes. She was bombed. Daddy was bombed, too. The airplanes were coming. Mother!
Stop that, Eugene. Stop that. Making up stories. You're a bad child. Well, why don't you say something?
Why are you staring? All right, she was bombed, if you like to tell stories. How are you going to explain you're looking for your mother in my garden?
I wasn't looking for my mother. Just a mother. Dr. Christian told me that...
Dr. Christian? The doctor for River's End?
He's a doctor for everybody.
Doctor for everybody. Another tinhorn god who thinks he knows how to fix people's minds as well as their bodies.
What?
Oh, you wouldn't understand.
You talk funny.
Oh, heavens. Tell me, does this doctor for everybody wear a wristwatch with a white leather strap?
Yes. A soldier made the strap for him.
Well, what did this great, wonderful Dr. Christian tell you?
He said, I have to find a mother because my mother's in heaven. She's waiting to hear me laugh. You know, we were the laughingest family. Now I can't laugh.
This is fantastic. You can't laugh. All little girls laugh.
I can't. Besides, I'm not a little girl. I heard Mrs. Hasty tell Dr. Christian the war made an old lady out of me.
The war? There you go again. You're a spoiled child with a story a yard wide and a yard long. Can't laugh. Well, I'll make you laugh. Wait until I tear this veil off my face. There. There now, laugh. Go on, laugh.
I'm sorry I said I didn't like you.
What? Why don't you laugh? The others did. Look at the old witch, one voice said.
I'm sorry I said I didn't like you. You see, I didn't know you'd been bombed.
Bombed? I wasn't bombed. Do you think I look like a witch?
You've got nice eyes. They're bright blue, like my mother's. And you've got beautiful hair. I bet Dr. Christian could fix your forehead.
Oh, you told me. The doctor for everybody. Well, he can't help me.
He can't help me either. He can't make me laugh. And he wants to.
Well, then I guess we're both in the same boat. What's your name?
Mimi.
Mimi? Would you like a glass of milk and a great big cookie?
Oh, Mimi. Mimi. Oh, Mimi, we've been frantic. Wait a minute. Dr. Christian?
Yes, Judy?
Mimi's here. Mrs. Bonney brought her in.
Oh, so the lost is found.
I wasn't lost. You were lost enough to have everybody out looking for you, including the sheriff, the troopers, the deputy sheriff, and the Boy Scouts.
Yes, and Judy's been tearing her hair, Mimi. Come into my office, Mrs. Bonney, won't you? Here, Mimi. He'll set you right up on the desk. There you are. Your exhibit A, you know.
You always say funny things, Dr. Christian.
I just moved to River's End.
Yes, I know. Tried to call on you, but you must have been out at the time. Your gate was locked.
I'm sorry. I haven't been receiving guests. I'll take off my veil. There. You see, I'm scarred, but I'm going to have it taken care of. Dr. Christian, is what Mimi has been telling me true?
Well, that depends on what the young lady's been telling you, doesn't it, Mimi?
About her parents being bombed and...
Yes. I'm afraid that's all true.
Oh, Mimi, I'm sorry. I said you weren't telling the truth.
That's all right. I like you for my mother fine.
I don't understand.
Dr. Christian, I want to be Mimi's mother. I want to adopt her.
Well, this is rather sudden. I do want to find parents for Mimi, but just you by yourself. Do you want to take over the responsibility of a child? You're young and you're...
Pardon me. May I come in? Miss Price told me that...
Irene, you aren't wearing your veil.
Father... I'm beginning to suspect collusion. Well, Dr. Christian, here is a made-to-order grandfather for Mimi. And if you give me a chance, I'm sure I can be a good mother. I'm just beginning to realize that No matter what happens now, there's always the hope of a better world for the young babies like me. And I was going to hide like an ostrich. My husband would be so ashamed of me.
There, there, Irene. That's all past now.
Well, it's a fortunate thing, Mamie, that you wandered into Mrs. Bunny's garden looking for a mama, because I think you found one. And a grandfather, too.
She didn't wander into my garden, Dr. Christian.
She didn't? Well, then, how did...
She was lifted over the wall and set down into the garden by two strong arms. Whoever the person was wearing a wristwatch with a white strap. Much like the one you're wearing, Dr. Christian. What do you mean? You can laugh. And you're going to laugh more and more, isn't she, Dr. Christian?
I see no reason why you can't all be the laughingest family.
And the curtain descends on another Dr. Christian Prize play with our star, Jean Hersholt, waiting to greet you. Men, millions of people have dry scalp. You may have it and not even realize it. Is your hair dry, unruly? Does it shed dandruff flakes? If you've noticed any of these signs of dry scalp, why not start using Vaseline Hair Tonic? Vaseline Hair Tonic checks dry scalp quickly, easily, by supplementing the natural scalp oils. It contains no alcohol or other drying ingredients. Shake 5 drops a day on your comb or directly on your hair to check dry scalp, give your hair a neat, well-groomed look. Also, massage your scalp before shampooing with Vaseline Hair Tonic to loosen dandruff, relieve itchy tightness. Remember, more bottles of Vaseline Hair Tonic are sold today than of any other hair tonic in America. Vaseline Hair Tonic is one of the many Vaseline brand products made by the Cheeseboro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline. If your druggist is out of the 40-cent size of Vaseline Hair Tonic, why not try the 70-cent size? It gives you 3 times as much, saves you money. And now here is Jean Hersholt.
Thank you very much. Here's a bulletin from the government urging you not to pay more than ceiling prices for food items. Look for the list of prices posted in your dealer's shop and don't pay more. The prize play you heard tonight was written by Mrs. Clara R. Casimir of Rochester, New York. And although she's written short stories, this is her first radio play. I'm not the only writer in the family, she tells us, but I'm the only typist. My husband's book, Out of the Clouds, was published last year. My 7-year-old son has 8 books on the file, about 5 sentences written in each. When your check came, he said, it couldn't have happened to a nicer woman. Next week, our presentation is the prize play, This Is Where I Came In, by Anna Townsend Rawlings of Richmond, Virginia. We invite you to listen again next Wednesday evening to the Vaseline program, same time, same station. Until then, I'll say good night.
Spring hay fever back again? Try this. Rub a little Vaseline petroleum jelly in the nostrils to help keep pollen from irritating delicate nasal membranes. Get gentle, soothing Vaseline petroleum jelly. Bob Anderson speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.